to Thursday night's version of The Scoop. I hope everyone is having a wonderful evening and that all is well for everyone. And here in lovely, what's supposed to be sunny California, it is raining and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So let's just get right back to it. We have a little bit of gossip news for you guys today. Mark Anthony has officially filed for a divorce from Jennifer Lopez. Mark filed the papers on April 9th in Los Angeles County Superior Court, 9 months after the couple announced their surprisingly split. In his filing, obtained by Access Hollywood, filed under his real name, Marco Muniz, he cites irreconcilable differences. They always cite irreconcilable differences. As a reason for divorce, Mark has asked the court to deny any requests for Jennifer for spousal support and is also asking for joint and physical and legal custody of their couple's four-year-old twins, Max and Emmy. So, Well, if you remember back in July 2011, J-Lo and Mark announced they were calling it quits after 7 years of marriage. So this was a very difficult decision, and we have come to an amicable conclusion on all matters. A statement was issued by the couple's publicist. Also, well, that didn't take long. Just after 2 days of moonlighting as Fox's mole, providing inside trivia about the operations of Fox News Network, Joe Muto, an 8-year veteran of the conservative leaning channel and an associate producer on The O'Reilly Factor, was unmasked by colleagues, fired, and escorted from the building. 2 hours later, Muto said in an online message, "They nailed me. In the end, it was the digital trail that gave me away. They knew that someone using my computer login had access to sources for 2 videos that ended up on Gawker over the past couple of weeks. They couldn't prove it entirely, but I was pretty much the only suspect. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry about that. Clearly, however, this does not mean Muto's in as a career as a whistleblower, but now his credits are wondering. Now his critics are wondering how much of a blow will this go towards him getting a job at another place. Also, Simon Cowell has reported he is signing a $15 million deal. Yes, you heard me. $15 million to sign Britney Spears to become a judge on next season's The X Factor. The irony of such a deal was not lost on Wednesday's Post TV columnist Lisa, who reported on an industry buzz this way. Looks as though Britney Spears, the 30-year-old pop singing train wreck, whose fiance is also petitioning to become her co-conservative along with her father, is about to become the mentor and important life lesson giver to a 13-year-old wannabe pop stars on Simon Cowell's singing competition. So she's got a point. All the stuff that Britney has been through, do we really want her mentoring 13-year-olds? So we'll see. Also, yeah, Mel cannot seem to stay out of the limelight, even when it is good. Mel Gibson frequently spews loony, rancid, anti-Semitic stuff, has talked about killing his former girlfriend, and is prone to hate-filled diatribe, slamming everyone from John Lennon to Walter Cronkite, according to a screenwriter who has been working with him. Joe Azareth, who wrote a screenplay about a Jewish hero, Judah McCabe, for Gibson, recounts numerous alleged incidents in detail in a 9-page letter to Gibson published on the website therap.com. In the letter, Gibson denies the allegations, saying that most of the claims are fabricated. Mel Gibson also says that only he had a problem with the co-writer because Warner Brothers rejected his script. Mel Gibson, in a 5-page paragraph response, says he won't respond line by line and that the decision not to proceed was based on the quality of his script and nothing else. Also, for all you Harry Potter fans who've been dying for J.K. Rowling to publish another book, something is coming soon. It's been 5 long years since J.K. Rowling published Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and now we finally have the name and release date of her first adult novel, called The Casual Vacancy. This novel will be released by Little Brown Book Group on September 27th. When Rowling was signing the deal with Little Brown in February, few details about the novel were made public. But now we know it is a blackly comedy, thought-provoking and constantly surprising tale of what happens to an idyllic English village after a parish councilman dies unexpectedly, leaving a hotly sought-after seat on the town council. When Rowling signed a deal with Little Brown in February, we realized that the book was going to be something different and a big departure from the Harry Potter series. So look forward to this. And the time is about 10 after 7. Once again, this is DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu on a lovely rainy Thursday evening in California. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You always be my heart.
That was Smashing Pumpkins with Ava Dora. And welcome back. This is DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And let's move on to TV news. And it's sad to say, on May 11th of last year, Fox canceled Thin new series Breaking In, only to later resurrect the show by ordering a second season. Just over 11 months later, Fox has initially canceled the show again. The comedy has been pulled from Fox's schedule in the middle of the season, too, after its most recent episode, which aired on April 3rd, hit a 1.3 rating in an adult demo and drew only 2.6 million viewers. Last year, the series got a miracle revival after being canceled, but that won't happen this year. Update about that. Breaking In is being canceled for good this time. Fox will air repeats of New Girl in the show's place and put its all of its eggs on the basket, hoping that Zoe Deschanel can put bring people in and bring in the viewers that they want. Fox also has 11 live-action comedy projects in the work and is looking to build its comedy chops so it doesn't have to keep canceling shows that are good like Breaking In. Also, Brian Fuller says he has currently postponed Mockingbird Lane and it will be grounded on and will be grounded more realistic way to tell the Munster story. We do not want bolts in the neck and Bela Lugosi's walking around. It's almost the Real Housewives of Transylvania is what he's going for. The drama from the show isn't strictly about monsterdom either, he says. Any story you can tell on parenthood can run through a universal monster prism and tell in a very twisted, off-kilter way. Fuller said the show's possible start date was delayed only due to casting issues. It's an American horror story that the whole family can watch, he claims, which based on the script is true only if everyone in your family is over 13 or so, has a zero problem with creepy crawlers, rats, and moody gore. Also, the feud between Community creator Dan Harmon and star Chevy Chase has been all over the headlines lately. Joel McHale, co-host Live with Kelly on April 12th, and joked about the situation. Hale told Kelly Ripa, "There have been some awesome recording messages, but I think it's impossible because there's no way Chevy could operate a voicemail." If you recall, Harmon shared an angry voicemail message from Chevy at the comedy show. Another one just leaked with Chevy using bad language and saying, "I want to make people laugh and this isn't funny. McHale made light of the situation, saying that he hibernates 9 months out of the year, and when you wake him, he becomes very cranky, and it's keeping us in the news, so that's a good thing. Maybe I should bait him into calling me here today." Also, Tina Fey appeared on The View this morning. She said she has tossed out 30 Rock tidbits and that Alec Baldwin's recent comments that he's leaving the show is not going to happen anytime soon. Tina Fey says, as far as she knows, he's not leaving the show and we're all in this tin together until the end. Fey claimed that the end date isn't up to her, but we can't keep doing this for 35 years. We love to keep going and to kind of see where the show ends up, but you don't want to see people get gray stripes eating a slice of pizza on going on dates. So Alec Baldwin is still in the running. Justified is looking to give Modern Family's Eric Stone Street a chance to flex some darker chops than his occasional turns as Fazbo the Clown. Showrunner Graham Yost says Stone Street is a fit for the show because he's a Kansas boy and he likes to play the bad guy. Providing schedule works with Modern Family, Stone Street will join the line of villains, including Neil McDowell, who just wrapped his third season. Jeremy Davis, an Emmy-nominated spot, and another actor on Yost's Justified bucket list is Jeff Goldblum. Also, pilot season is kicking into high gear with new scripts and casting and pickups afoot. A lot will change between now and fall, but there are some early signs of promise and quite a few shows in the pipeline. First of all, we have a project from Fox called Unmindly Kaling Project. It's the funniest pilot script we've ever read this year, they say. Kaling stars as a smart, skilled doctor whose love life is a mess, but she's only kind of cares about fixing it. Get ready for a huge wave and a new face in the feminist comedy stories. Also, Mockingbird Lane, which has been postponed, but NBC is hoping that that will pick up mid-season next January. Also, we have the Ken Williamson's cult show, starring Kevin Bacon, stars as a retired FBI agent who was named for his capturing of a genius serial killer. Now, the killer has escaped from prison, and Bacon has to drag his weary ass back to the field, where he quickly learns that the killer has created a cult that will also be carrying out terrifying ritualistic killings all across the country. The script is genuinely frightening, and while there are plenty of cop shows, this is more of a murder show. Violent, creepy, surprisingly unstupid. And that will be on Fox. Also on CBS, we have Golden Boy. One of the stars, Mark Plunk from Downton Abbey, plays a hotshot who's both a really good detective and secretly a huge sleaze. ABC is going to put Connie Britton back from American Horror Story. She is going to become a singing star in Nashville. And NBC is resurrecting its own medical series called County, hoping you can sort of do without, what is it, Private Practice and Grey's Anatomy, and hoping the cash in on the ER fans. They're looking to bring that to you on Friday nights. And we have a couple other ones, the Goodwin Games. It's a part of Felicity Trend this season. Scott Foley will star in this single camera comedy from How I Met Your Mother co-creators Carter Bays and Craig Thomas, who play the oldest in a trio of siblings who reunite after their father's death. Ugly Betty, Peggy Newton, plays one of the other siblings, and she will have the best part of the series. And at this time, we're going on a little after 7:22. And, we have one more. Let's see. Also on CBS, Joanna Garcia and the newly cast David Walton have both starred in an unsuccessful romance sitcoms. Garcia is better known for Better With You, and Walton is better known for Perfect Couples and Bent. They are due for a hit. Walton starts as a reforming womanizer who realizes he's in love with Garcia. He's also engaged to her longtime friend and business partner. In addition, Greg certainly doesn't hurt our enthusiasm for the multi-camera comedy. So that is that. And now it's about 7:23. Once again, this is DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And also, we want to remind you that we are the official flagship station for the Pacific baseball team shooting out of San Rafael. Going to be playing some games down in Albert Park. And if you can't make it out to see the games, you can definitely check them out here on radio.dominican.edu. And now the time is 7:24. And we are just going to pick another song for you. So far, move. that was the late Amy Winehouse with Back to Black. And it's coming up on news time. So, sorry, Avery's in the studio. He's distracting me. So it's his fault if I can't concentrate. All right. So Stanford, Florida has been in the news for several weeks now, over a month now. Anyway, when the Reverend Al Sharpton rallied the thousands there last month, he told city leaders that they risk going down as the Selma or Birmingham of the 21st century unless George Zimmerman was arrested. On Thursday, with Zimmerman behind bars, many here are wondering when they would get their reputation back. It's not all about racism, like everyone says. Beth Roth, who was a resident of the town, she was white, and she also owns a downtown cafe called Taste of Time. There are no riots. People need to know Stanford for what it is, which is a quaint, artsy town with a lot to offer. Whether Stanford will succumb from the list of American cities with a racial past is just one of the unsolved issues reverberating on people's minds after Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch volunteer, turned himself into authorities, charged with second-degree murder and the slaying of an unarmed black teenager, Trayvon Martin. The February 26 killing changed the city of about 53,000 from a little-known former celery hub to a place where many Americans now associate with racially fraught American tragedy. In local news, top Lucasfilm official says it's too late for George Lucas to reconsider his decision to pull the plug on Grady Ranch. Grady Ranch has been in the process for decades, 30 years at least. And who wouldn't want George Lucas as a neighbor, and who wouldn't want celebrities driving through their neighborhoods just to sit at Skywalker Ranch? But anyway, Lynn Hale, director of communications for Lucasfilm, said that while the firm appreciates the unprecedented outpouring of public support for the company, the only triggered the news that the filmmaker has been scuttling with, saying that he is tired of being pushed around. Thank you. And there's no turning back now. What he has decided to do is to sell the land to a developer who will put in low-income housing. Now, let's do the math here. He will probably have at least maybe 100 people working at Grady Ranch, or 150 at any time. Now you're going to have low-income housing in a neighborhood that, in a sense, is very upper class, very hoity-toity. Now, you've done this to yourself, and I can't wait to see what kind of traffic you're going to get now, because you didn't want George to move in next door. As George tells, he's unfortunately, it's too late. He will not reconsider his position, and he is not going to go back on his opinion of the neighbors. So that brings us to 7:30. And I have to say, I got to give George props. That's really ballsy, especially when you've announced that you're going to give the land to someone who's going to build low-income housing. And, you know, I've just, that's all I can say. Anyway, here's Madonna.
Je suis désolé. Lo siento. Ich bin traurig. Sono spiacente. Perdóname.
I'm not afraid to die.
was Madonna saying sorry. And those are all those people from Lucas Valley Estate saying, sorry, George, we were wrong. Please come back. Once again, it's about 7:35 here on Thursday night. Welcome to The Scoop with DJ Misty, coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And once again, I want to remind you that we are the flagship, official flagship radio station for the San Rafael Pacific baseball teams, or Pacifics baseball team. So if you can't catch a game, you can definitely tune in here at radio.dominican.edu and check out The Score. They'll be playing right here in San Rafael down at Albert Park. So it should be a fun summer for baseball. All right. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter Seth Graham Smith recently chatted about working with Tim Burton on Beetlejuice 2 and Night of the Living Dead and much more. On a follow-up tale, he will be doing the sequel to the Beetlejuice sequel will come after an unholy night in his schedule. The first opportunity to tackle that will be probably later this year. Unholy Night is part of his Three Wise Kings trilogy, which puts an action-adventure spin on a biblical figure that protects Mary and baby Jesus. The book just hit shelves a few days ago, but the story is already in development for a feature film. Warner Brothers' Beetlejuice almost got a sequel in Hawaii, according to 1997 interview in Fangor, but thank goodness that never happened. It will be interesting to see what kind of spin Graham Smith can put on the horror comedy. Also, Mark Wahlberg has played his fair share of cops and criminals, but he may be tackling his first role as a lawyer. Variety reports that the actor is in talks to star in The Partner, based on a 1997 legal pop boiler by John Grisham. Wahlberg will play a junior partner who absconds with $90 million worth of ill-gotten gains from his firm. But despite faking his death and fleeing the country, his former colleagues managed to track him down. Oh, so hey. And you know what? But that sounds kind of sloppy from Mark Wahlberg. Also, for all you Arrested Development fans, yay, it's finally happening. And Fox should have canceled their senses a long time ago and kept that show in the air. But, you know, we'll just let that go. It sadly has said that we're about to start the production of making Arrested Development, the miniseries, into a movie, which will be out this summer. Going to start production this summer. The actual start date is not sure, but the Arrested Development miniseries will be on the air sometime the first half of 2013 for repeats. We don't dare dream that the frequently delayed project might keep that to that date. Though several new episodes will serve as in the entry to the updated movie. So it's possible by next summer we'll actually see something on the big screen. Also, Tom Hanks is in talks to play Walt Disney. Disney's making a movie about Walt Disney, and who better to play him than Tom Hanks? Deadline reports that talks are heating up for Hanks to star in Saving Mr. Banks, which would chronicle Disney's 14-year pitch to a prickly author, P.L. Travis, to let him make a movie of her book, Mary Poppins. Though she eventually relented, Travis was so put off by the movie's animated sequences that she never forgave Disney. Emma Thompson may take the role up as Travis, and Blindside director John L. Hancock plans to direct the film at the end of this year. So look for that sometime next year. Also, Iron Man 3, they're eyeing Ben Kingsley as the baddie. Yes, Ben Kingsley is in final talks to play the bad guy in Iron Man 3, where he'll star opposite Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow. Director Shane Black and departing director Jon Favreau. Not much is known about the plot of the movie. The first is the Marvel arsenal after the Avengers, and we will see what happens after that. All right, so we're getting on about 7:40, and it is Thursday. the 12th. April 12th. It's 50 degrees outside. Is it still raining? Yes. Avery says it's still raining. And we're just sitting here chit-chatting. We're going to play some more music and just let everything just flow like it's going to flow. So I hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday, getting ready for things. And couldn't have a little Kid Rock to get things started.
Cowboy. Cowboy.
Well, I'm packing up my game and I'ma head out west, where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint, buy an old drop top, find a spot to pimp. Then I'm a Kid rocking up and down your block, go with a bottle of scotch and watch lots of crotch. Buy a yacht with a flag saying chilling the most, then rock that bitch up and down the coast. Give a toast to the sun, drink with the stars, get thrown in the mix and tossed out of bars. Sip the Tijuana, I wanna roam, find Motown, telling fools to come back home. Start an escort service for all the right reasons, and set up shop at the top of Four Seasons. Kid rockin', I'm the real McCoy, and I'm headed out west, sucker, because I wanna be a cowboy, baby,
with a top left back and the sunshine shining.
Cowboy, baby,
whoa.
Train rolls in, it goes like dust in the wind. I once was lost,
but now I'm just blind.
Palm trees and weeds, scab knees and rice. Get a map to the stars, find Heidi Fleiss. And if the price is right, then I'm gonna make my bid, boy, and let California hate. Know why they call me a
cowboy, baby, with a top left.
Yes, that was Kid Rock saying all kinds of bad things. Sorry about that. Anyway, didn't know, but
kind of forgot, you just becomes, you know, second nature with certain words in your life. So anyway, welcome back. It is 7:45 on Thursday. Welcome to The Scoop with DJ Misty. And let's get down to some box office mojo. Let's see what we got. All right. Well, if you haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been, but for the last 3 weeks, The Hunger Games has made it to number one every week, even with movies like American Reunion and Titanic opening in its tail. Nothing can catch up to The Hunger Games, which is now, as of Wednesday, at $312 million. Coming in second is American Reunion in its first week of release, only debuting at 27. Titanic 3D, also debuting in its first week of release, came in with $31 million. It's doing very well in China, but not so good over here. Mirror Mirror, which opened at the same time as The Hunger Games, and it's a slightly funny, surreal play by the same guy who did The Cell. So it's beautifully shot, but not much of the story. It's coming in at number four with only $41 million. And Wrath of the Titans is a sequel that really shouldn't have been made. I don't know why they made it. I don't know why they keep giving Sam Worthington work. I'm sorry to tell you, Sam Worthington fans. Yes, he's an okay actor, but please, really? Anyway, that came in at number five. 21 Jump Street came in at number six. I don't have much to say on that. I really didn't watch the TV show, so... Dr. Seuss's The Lorax is at number seven with $200 million. Salmon Fishing in Yemen is also in at number eight at five. And Disney's Bang for Your Buck, John Carter, yes, after, 5 weeks? It's only grossed $68 million, whereas The Hunger Game in 3 weeks has grossed $312. So, who's having a good year this year? Not Buena Vista. Also coming at number 10 and rounding it out, Josh Hutcherson is in the top 10 twice with Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, coming in at $99 million. So Josh Hutcherson is having a very good year. Two movies in the top 10 grossing over almost $400 million is going to be really good for his status as an actor. Also, we have a couple of movies opening that are looking really good. But the wild card for this month of April is The Raven. It's getting a noteworthy marketing push, and it has the advantage from being the director, from the director of V for Vendetta, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. Hugo Weaving. Anyway, let's see. Unfortunately, since it's already aired over in the UK, a lot of our films air over there before they air here, so they can try to get the dollars ahead of time. It is not doing so well. So we will see what happens when The Raven starring John Cusack opens next week. Also, two other nationwide releases that directly targeted male audiences, which probably is not the best idea this weekend, is The Avengers and Safe. Basically, they are also opening over in the UK, and they're doing okay. So, we'll see. The Avengers is going to be basically for an American audience. Also, releasing, we'll see. Okay, well, coming soon, since tomorrow it's the 20th, coming soon, we have The Lucky One with Zac Efron. That's all I can say on that one. Think Like a Man, starring Chris Brown and Gabrielle Union. And we also have The Arctic 3D, Chimpanzee, and Darling Companion, starring Diane Keaton and Kevin Klein. Oh, that looks good. If you're into one of those kind of sad movies. And if you want something a bit of kick ass, I don't care what anyone says, I like Jason Statham. And I think he does kung fu very, very well. Anyway, his movie Safe is opening next week as well. So check it out. And on DVD, releasing this week on Blu-ray, we have The Iron Lady, starring Meryl Streep. Now, I saw this. Her performance of Margaret Thatcher was wonderful, but I left knowing nothing about Margaret Thatcher. So, But she was worthy of that award, and I gave it to her. I love Meryl Streep, so. But I left knowing nothing about Margaret Thatcher that I didn't already know. I wanted to know something more, something in depth. Also, The Darkest Hour is out on 3D Blu-ray. And you also have Into the Abyss on Blu-ray. Also, we have Sleeping Beauty. We have Dark Shadows, the complete original series coming out as well. And A Trip to the Moon, Buy a Trip to the Moon. Restored, limited edition, steelbook, Blu-ray. And for all you Night Gallery fans, yes, Night Gallery Season 3 is out. And if you ever saw it, it was hokey. But if you're a Logan's Run fan, the only season they did of the show has finally come out. So check it out. All right. Let's see. We have a little bit of wacky news here. So if you're a fan of Marilyn Manson, you got a treat the other night. Fans of Marilyn Manson were treated to quite a surprise performance at the Goth Rockers Los Angeles concert on Wednesday night. The man playing guitar on stage at Club Nokia was none other than actor Johnny Depp. Depp was on hand for Sweet Dreams and Beautiful People, but didn't try to attract any attention to himself. He wore a big hat, and he fit in nicely with the Manson bed. It was unclear to fans at the Revolver Golden Gods Awards immediately when they it was unclear to fans at the awards immediately who noticed that eventually that there was something weird about the man on the stage. Eventually, Manson came over to the mic and said, "If you don't recognize my personal friend, the 43-year-old singer, my personal savior and personal guitar hero, it's Johnny Depp." So, it's no secret that the duo are good friends. Manson and Depp collaborated on a cover of Carly Simon's 1972 hit, "You're So Vain," for Manson's upcoming album, Born Villain. So, that was my wacky news. Johnny Depp was hanging out with Marilyn Manson. And that's going to bring us on up to the top of the hour where I must leave you and say adieu. But adieu, adieu. And Avery Jaffrey is here for Do It Live. Yes. He's going to do some live stuff with you guys. Whatever that live stuff may be, I don't know. But I'm sure it's going to be good. So anyway, stay tuned for Do It Live with Avery Jaffe. And I, your host for the last hour, DJ Misty, coming to you from radio.dominican.edu, is going to say farewell, good night, have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care.
Look at me, I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree, and I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. I can't understand. I get misty holding your hand. Walk my way, and a thousand violins begin to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello, that music I hear. I get misty the moment you're near. You can say that you're leading me on, but it's just what I want you to do. Don't you realize how hopelessly I'm lost? That's why I'm following you. On my own, would I wander through this wonderland alone, never knowing my right foot from my left, my hat from my glove? get misty and too much in love. My glove, I'm too misty.